עכשיו יש שיעור, אני... I spoke on Erev Shabbat, but I want again to welcome you to this special Gan Eden place, Shalavim. I really believe that this year is a very, 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 very important year, not for the year, for life. Because what you have to get from this year is not only knowledge. What you have to get from this year is tremendous love to Torah, to learning Torah, not only to Torah, to Torah life, but to learning Torah. And I think that the definition is that you and Torah and Hashem has to be one. Because yeshiva is like a lab. Yeshiva is really life, but it's not like the life outside. And you're not going to be in yeshiva for all your life. And the question is, if you succeed taking here and having from yeshiva that you and Hashem and Torah are one, then no matter where you'll go, you'll have it. But if really, in the end of the year, in the end, you are one personality, and Torah is near you, but it's not at you, it's not part of you, then society will make slowly, slowly, and the pressure of society when you leave yeshiva and so on, will make slowly, slowly, that you will be disconnected. And you won't learn every day, and it won't be part of your life, and so on. Therefore, the question what will happen now is really the question how you will look another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And when I sit with every Rav and measure the success is not what happens now. The success is how this guy will look another 10, 20, 30, 40 years. How much he's connected emotionally to Torah. How much really bothers him. Will he go in the path and think about it? Is it something lively? Is it something that gives him happiness? Is it something that gives him energy? Or is it something that, okay, I have to do? And that's the main question. We are going to meet, except now in Elul, that I'm going to meet you every Thursday. During the year, we're going to meet with each year. I'm going to have a Bayit Cham once a month. And in this Batim Chamim, we are mainly going to discuss what does it mean, I and Torah are one? What does it mean, I and Hashem are one? How it comes into effect? What's the difference between someone that have it and someone that doesn't have it? How do I find my goal in life? How can I answer the question why Hashem created me? How can I answer the question what I have to give to Am Yisrael? According to my personality, according to a lot of things we're going to discuss. But I think that if someone that doesn't come to yeshiva can never have that feeling of me and Torah and Hashem are one. Because if you don't learn Torah, what happens is that we don't learn Torah till the end, it can't come to be part of you. That's the reason why in yeshiva you don't have almost any responsibilities. You don't have even to deal with kashrut questions. The Rosh Hashiva get the questions, they give the psak, you come to the food, you don't even know that the chicken was an hour ago in his office. And maybe it's not good, because maybe in life you won't know what to do with the chicken. So we have to deal with this problem. But the main thing is to take you away from any responsibility in order that you can really enjoy learning, love it, come to be part of you, and from there we'll go. Two main things how it come to be part. A, if everything is clear like the sun. If you learn something, be'iyun, be'pkiyut, if you learn something, and these things are not clear like the sun, they're not really, really clear to you. If someone should wake you at 3 o'clock at night and you should shoot the sugya. If you don't know to shoot the sugya, and it's like a museum that you'll go and half a picture will be covered. If you know little here and little there, but you don't know it, you can't enjoy it. It can't be part of it. Therefore, I suggest very, very much to make a lot of review, both in Iyun, both in Bakiyu, to really know it, that people, and that's number one. Number two, in order to love something, you have to give it over to others. Every Shabbos that you'll be hosted, no matter where, you really have to say part of the thing that you learned in Yeshiva. You have to give it over to people. When the guys here left to Ben Azmanim and they asked me what is the best way to keep Yeshiva, I told them every night, call someone from your friends, from your family, and say something that will interest them. To say good Vatora means that when you finish, he starts to think. If you say a nice Vatora about the Parsha or about anything, and after a minute when you finish, everyone shouts Shkoyach, Shkoyach, but a minute later no one remembers and no one thinks about what you said, then it's bad. You have to create people to think. That's the definition of a good Dvar Torah. So I'm speaking about reviewing Torah, reviewing Iyun, reviewing Bikis, knowing exactly what you're learning, because then you can have happiness, number one, and number two, giving Torah to others. When I came here, I didn't come to my big regret from a house that indicated learning Torah for years. My father was in Germany, and because of the Holocaust, he never had opportunity to go to yeshiva. Avi Mori, zichrono livracha. When he was 18, he saw from the window the Nazim coming and grabbing his father, beating him. Almost he didn't live, his father. His father was a lawyer, and they told him, you never come back to this court. If you come once again, we'll kill you. He saw everything from the window. He ran, but he was afraid that the Nazim would beat him too, so he waited to his father in the corner. And when his father almost couldn't walk, he helped his father to go home. And in that night, the father said, Germany is not anymore our land. We're going to Israel. And a few months later, my father was in a boat alone, because his parents weren't allowed yet to leave Germany. Came here, had to support his family. So therefore, he didn't learn in yeshiva. I came here, and my thinking was to be here for X time and to leave yeshiva, to make a V and to continue in life. Two main reasons why I decided to stay. A, I came to the conclusion after a lot of thinking, and again in Bayit Chama would explain the process, what is my goal in life, and I came to the conclusion that my goal in life is to spread Torah. Even that they had free learning in university. And I'm not saying that everyone is to go. I think that some people have to go to university and it's very important. But to me personally, it wasn't that. B, Because the deepness of Torah really caught me. I'm giving lectures today in Israel about different topics in medicine or in modern problems in halakha. It's amazing to see how every ethic question that any science deal with, if it's a surrogate mother, if the mother is the first or the second, it's the question where you're allowed to make abortions and where not. Are you allowed to transfer your heart from a man to a man? And all these questions that you open today, Google, or you open today internet, you will see the whole scientific world is discussing. I can put my hand in the fire. There is no one question. If it's Siamic twins, and whatever you want, there is no one question that you don't have a Ritva or a Rashba or a Sugya or something that give the answer. And when slowly, when I learned here in Yeshiva, and slowly I started to see it, I was so thrilled and so happy to see the deepness of Torah. You don't have one subject that is being dealt that Torah doesn't have what to say on that. What we are going to do in the 5-4 meetings that we're going to have in Elul is taking part of these things and showing you an example how the Torah have answers to everything. Surrogate mother, for example, that we're going to discuss. There are a certain percent of women in the world that can't go into regular pregnancy, or because there is a problem in the system, or because they have other problems. They have breath problems or heart problems, and if they will have a full pregnancy, they will die. So what you do is you take the egg of the mother, you take the spleen of the husband, you make them together, and you take them into another woman. The other woman signs a contract by a lawyer that in the minute that she will give birth, she will give the baby back to the parents of the egg and the spleen. And the whole medical world is dealing with the question, who is the mother? Is the mother the first one that gave the egg? Or is the mother the second one? Because Tilly is not a man. Tilly is not being born, he's not a man. Now in the first glance, question like that can't be answered in the Gemara. Because the medical wasn't so developed in that time. And they didn't have that possibility. Still, we're going to see, not today, but this is one of the shurim that we're going to give, we're going to see a whole sugya in the Gemara about a different topic at all, that will give us clear answer about this question. Second shiur that I want to give is heart plant. People that, is it allowed to get a heart from a donator that was injured in the car accident and so on? I'm not going now because we don't have time, so I'm not going to discuss it a lot, but there are problems about any transfer of organs. But when we speak about the heart, there is a very, very specific problem, because in the minute that you take the heart from the first one, you are killing the donator. In that minute. And you're not allowed to kill one in order to save one. And therefore the question, if you are allowed to transfer a heart, is very hard. Because how can I kill one in order to save one, even if this one will die another 2 hours, still he's alive. So that will be our second shear, or another shear that we're going to give about heart plant. I would like to give a shear about giving terrorists what happened with Gilad Shalit, Is it allowed according to halacha to redeem terrorists in order to bring our soldier back? Big debate that was here in Israel. I don't know if we'll have time, but one of the interesting topics that split Israel today is giving land for peace. Let's say there will be a real peace. Are you allowed according to halacha to give land or not? Today I want to give you a choice, giving you a present. I give you two topics, you tell me what the majority want, and according to that we go. Topic number one, 12 o'clock at night, a lady knocks in Rabakshi Doron. Rabakshi Doron was the chief rabbi of Israel, Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel. She knocks in his door. He was already sleeping. One of his kids was still awake. He said, the rabbi is sleeping. She said, it's very, very urgent. He waked him up, he dressed, came out. She told him that she's Chozeret B'Tshuva, once she wasn't religious. And when she wasn't religious, she had a pregnancy and she made abortion. Then she decided to be religious. She got married. And she never told her husband that she had a baby and she made abortion. And a month ago, they had a son. And he is sure that there is going to be tomorrow morning a Pidyon HaBen. So he invited all his family and all his friends to a restaurant in order to make Pidyon HaBen. But she knows that it's not Peter Rechem. She knows that it's not the first one from the Rechem. And she knows that because he didn't tell him, there is going to be Bracha Levatala. He's going to say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Sher Kedei Shalom Kvar Metzivanu Al Pidyon HaBen, and he's going to say, Shem Hashem Levatala, because of her. She already went to the bed at 10 o'clock, and she felt very guilty. But she knows that if she will tell him now, there is going to be shouts at the home. And he will be very, very embarrassed. What will he tell his friends? He have to call them tomorrow morning and to tell them there is no Pidyon HaBen. What will he tell them? And she went to Rabakshi Doron to ask him, what should I do? Should I tell him now or shouldn't I tell him now? How do you answer a question like that? One of the things that I wanted to get during this year, and I'm sure that other Rabbanim and myself will be happy, to share with you even psakim that we give, and to show you the way how we give the psak, in order that it will be clear how a psak is being built. That's subject number one. Subject number two, I'm being asked a lot, the subject number two, for example. A lot of families here in Nof Ayalon, or the place when I was a rabbi of community for a few years, a lot of places, they have relatives that are not religious. And if they have a simcha, for example, or they want to invite someone for lunch, or they have a bar mitzvah, they know that this man is going to drive on Shabbos. And they'll be over Isur, Lifnei Iver. Because they caused this man to drive because of them. And you're not allowed to cause someone else to make an Aveira because of you. What to do? If you don't invite him, third war free. You will be very, very angry. There is a simcha of the family and you don't invite him. Let's say his grandparents and so on. If you do invite him, you are causing a man to be mechalel Shabbos because of you. Should you invite him or not? I'm giving you a choice between the two. We have 20 seconds to decide which one, and from there we go. Who won the first topic?
Second topic. I think the first one was right.
Okay. If we'll have time another time, we'll go. Bakasha. See, briefs everyone have, and we'll stop, so we don't have a lot of time. This question of the first topic is really
contradictory to Benadar Lamakom and Benadar Chazorot. On one hand, Bachar Batala is a very, very big Aveira, and you don't want to cause it. So that's Ben Adam Namakom. From the other hand, Ben Adam Lechaveron. You don't want to embarrass the man. Not only question of Shlom Bayit, it's a question of embarrassing the husband. He will have to call all his friends and to tell them, I didn't know that my wife had a baby before. It's tremendously embarrassing. What's happened when you have a clash between Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lechaveron? That's the first question. Rabbi Akshi Doron took him an hour and a half to give an answer to this woman. And I will try in half an hour to go with you what was the head of Rabbi Akshi Doron. So when he heard a question like that, he had to look in the whole Shas where there is a clash. If something is not clear, please ask me. When there is a clash between Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lechaveron, says the Gemara
in Brachot Daf Yutet Amud Bet. A Gemara that if it won't be written, we would say something else. Now, I'm sure that you heard it from your rabbis, but I want to say always, the main thing when you learn Gemara is, every Gemara that you see, you have to ask yourself, would I write this Gemara? Because Gemara is built on logic. And you have to ask yourself, wow, would I write this thing? If not, then you have to learn it very deep to understand why the Gemara wrote something that you would write differently. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yuda Amar Rav, Hamotze Kilayim Bebigido, Poshto Afilu Bashuk, Mai Tama, Ein Chochma Ve'ein Tvuna Ve'ein Etza Lenegad Hashem. Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Chilul Hashem Ein Cholkim Kavod L'Rav. Says the Gemara, what will happen if a guy will be here in Shir, and in the middle of the Shir, he himself suddenly found that his trousers have kilayim. They have tzemer and pishtim together. I would think he immediately have to leave Shir, run to the dorm, and take them off. But that will be 4 minutes that he's over Isu. And it's 4 minutes that he's over Isu bemezid. Because he knows that he has kilayim. Says the Gemara, every second that you are over Aveira Bemezid, you are over Chilul Hashem. We always think that Chilul Hashem is what other people think. Our Gemara come to teach us Chilul Hashem doesn't have to do with other people. Chilul Hashem means you are making an Aveira Bemezid. And this is
against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you are memar the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So every aveira that we do b'mezin is called Chilul Hashem. Therefore, says the Gemara, what you have to do is stand here, take your trousers down, and run to the door. In order to save these 4 minutes, even if it would be tremendously embarrassing, meaning to say, between the clash of Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lechaviro, Ben Adam Lamakom wins. If it is Benezid, the Oraita, Ben Adam Lechaviro wins. Ben Adam Lamakom wins. And therefore, even if it would be tremendously embarrassed, what you're going to do, you have to do it. Point number one. Yes.
This doesn't teach us that an aveira, if you have an aveira, ben adam lamakom and an aveira ben adam lechaviro.
No, I didn't speak about aveira ben adam lechaviro. I speak ben adam lechaviro is embarrassing. It's kvod abriot.
It doesn't teach you again.
What?
It doesn't teach you that an aveira that.
No, but even that there is problem of tznius. Still, it's written to take the trousers down. Asigmar. Meitivei means we have a question. Very, very interesting. Kavru et amet. Vechazru. Velifnehem shtei drachim. Ba ha'avel betum'a. Ba'im imo betum'a mishum kvodo. Ve'amai. Neima ein chokma ve'ein tvuna le'neged Hashem. Ask the Gemara. You have a cemetery. Here is the entrance of the cemetery. You have graves. Now you have a coin. But his father died. The halacha is, if he's not a coin godal, if he's a regular coin, he's allowed and even have a chiyuv to be nitameh to his father. Meaning to say, if they bury him here, he should go this way. Even that he goes between graves and he will be tameh. Now listen good. Maybe it's good that you picked this topic because it's so connected to Elo. What happened if there is a coin, he doesn't know enough halacha? Chevra Kadisha told him, you can go. Okay, he went. He buried his father. Now, after he buried his father, he can't go back. He cannot. Because he can't be mitami. So what he has to do now, he have to go like this. But he doesn't know. So after the funeral, he turned his head and he started to go slowly, slowly this way. Says the Braita, don't embarrass him in public. And don't tell him, no, you can't go. Because now already your father is buried and now you'll be metame. Let's go this way. So even to give a remark in public to anyone is called embarrassing. It's called kvod abriyot. And you're not allowed to do it. Why here we don't say the same thing? Why here we don't say, I don't care, Ben Adam Lamakom is more important? Why here we do allow him to be over in aveira and to go back? Is the question of the Gemara clear to everyone? Nu Rabbeisai, is the question clear to everyone? When we spoke about sharpness, we said, even if it's embarrassing, who cares? When we speak about a Kohen, we say, no, even if it's a lot less embarrassing. Only to give him a hint that we have to go the other way. Don't do it. It's embarrassing. Here, Kvod HaBriyot is winning. Ask the Gemara why. Answer the Gemara.
Turgema Rabbi Abba Bebeit Hapras Derabanan, meaning to say that no graves. Once there were graves, but a tractor came and took them away, and there is only bones under the earth. And therefore the Tuma is Derabanan. And because the Tuma is only the Rabbanan, Kvod HaBriyot is more important. So I'm taking from this Gemara two conclusions. Number one, Mezid, the Oraita, is more than Kvod HaBriyot. And therefore you have to take your trousers down. Second question, the Rabbanan, Kvod HaBriyot is more important. And therefore we shouldn't take anything. What is the question now that Rav Bakshi Doron has to deal with? After we have this Gemara, we have to give a sack to this woman. What do you think now the question that Rav Bakshi Doron has to deal with? Yes.
Both these serim are
serim. What?
Both like the affairs that you're doing, either embarrassing them or saying or something, they're both these serim, their eyes aren't it.
Yep. Question number one that Rav Bakshi Doron have to deal is saying Shem Hashem Levatala is the Oraita or the Rabbanan? If it would be the Oraita, then the answer would be, you have to tell him tonight. If it's the Rabbanan, the answer will be, don't tell him, in order not to embarrass him. So the first question that Rav Bakshi Doron has to deal, is it the Oraita or the Rabbanan? Anyone want to think about the second question that Rav Bakshi Doron has to deal, in order to give a psak? Yes.
Isn't the husband saying Rav
Shogeng? Yof. Second question, would there be a difference between Mezid and Shogeg? Here, in the case of Shatnez, we speak about Mezid. What would be the case of Shogeg, the writer? We'll say it's Chilul Hashem, and still it's more important than Kvod HaBriyot, or not? These are the main two questions that you have to discuss. The Gemara, for example, could answer that the difference between the case of the cemetery and the case of the kilayim is that one is Mezid and one is Shogeg. But the Gemara didn't answer that. She answered the Oraita and the Rabbanan. So maybe there is no difference between Mezid and Shogeg. So Rav Bakshi Doron have to deal. Is there a difference? Is Bracha Levatala the Oraita or the Rabbanan? B. He has to deal with the question, is there a difference between Shogeg and Mezid? Turn the page, please, to the second page. Says the Gemara in Brachot, Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish de Amrei Travayo. Kol HaMevarech Bracha Sheina Tzricha. If someone says Shem Shamayim Nevatala, Over Mishum Lotisa Et Shem Hashem Elokech Al Hashav. So the Gemara in Brachos says, if you say Bracha Levatala, you are over the Oraita of Lo Tisa Et Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Says Tosfot, Katvu B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam Lehochiach Dehai Drasha Hanan Asmachta Be'almahi. So Tosfot claims Bracha Levatala is the Rabbanan,
And what we brought here, the pasuk is only asmachta be'alma. From where Tosfot takes it, because of the Gemara in Brachos Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, if you don't remember if you said the met v'yatziv or not, you don't remember if you said the met v'yatziv or you didn't say met v'yatziv, you should repeat. But why should you repeat? There the Shem Hashem in the met v'yatziv. So it should be sfeika d'oraita lechuma, you shouldn't repeat. ואילו הווה איסור ברכה שאינה צריכה מן התורה, היה לו לאסור ולחזור ולברך מספק, משום דהווה ברכה שאינה צריכה, ועובר משום לא תישא, אלא ודאי דהווה מדרבנן. So according to Tosfot, ברכה לבטלה is דרבנן. What is written in the Torah, לא תישא את שם השם אלוקיך לשווא, is only in bathing in a swear. If you swear in bathing, it's not allowed. But if it's not swearing in bathing, only saying bracha on pidyon ben, it's the rabbanan. The Rambam disagree, and the Rambam beshut pe'er ador writes bracha she'ina tzicha yisura de'oraita, because he learned the Gemara is pshat. What is very, very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch is posek like the Rambam, and the Raman is posek like Tosfot. It means, if the couple is Ashkenazim, then what will be the halacha? She should tell him or not? If the couple is Ashkenazim, then it's the Rabbanan. In the Rabbanan, Kvod HaBriyot is bigger, and therefore she shouldn't tell him. If the couple is Sfaradi, then they go according to the Shulchan Aruch. The difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, you always should know, the Shulchan Aruch, or the Beit Yosef, took the Rosh, Rambam, and Rif, and every time when two said something, he was posted like that. The Rama always posted like the Rosh. So the difference, the halacha between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama will be in the cases where the Rambam and Rif said A and the Rosh said B. So the Shulchan Aruch will go like the Rambam and the Rif, and the Rama goes like the Rosh. Therefore, if the couple is Ashkenazic, she shouldn't say. If the couple is Sephardic, she should say. Is still here? Everything clear to everyone? Now let's go to the question of Shoged and Mezid. Turn again the page. I'm sorry for the balagan. See the Yerushalmi, please. Rabbi Ami Havayativ Mimatne. You have it, please, after Rashi. Rabbi Ami gave a shir, like I'm giving now. In the middle of the shir, suddenly someone saw that his friend had kilayim. It's not the case of the Gemara. The Gemara spoke when you find kilayim for yourself. But the case of the Yerushalmi is, someone saw that his friend had kilayim. So he stands his friend in the middle of the shir. Wow! You have kilayim! What does his friend have to do now? Have to stand and take his trousers down. And this would happen. He told his friend, and his friend was undressed in the middle of shir. Rav Ami was very, very angry on the friend that told the other guy. And Rav Ami told him, "Amar leichad, Amar le Rav Ami, shlof manach vehavlei. Instead that he will be undressed, you give him immediately your clothes, and you should be undressed." Meaning to say, it was wrong telling him. You have to tell him that he had a phone in the dorm. Big question: why are you allowed to lie for that? Another shear. When are you allowed to lie and when not? You have to tell him you have a phone in the dorm. He will run to the dome and there you'll tell him. But not in the middle of Shir, not to embarrass him. And therefore Rab Ami was tremendously wrong. Ask the Rosh. But he's right. He didn't want his friend to be over in Aveira even for 4 minutes. So why he was wrong? Why Rab Ami scream at him? Why he was wrong by telling his friend, this is what you should do? Answer the Rosh. Two answers. Vesvira leil Rabbi Ami bekilaim de Rabbanan. First answer, the trousers of this guy were not kilaim de oraita. Kilaim de oraita is when the tzemer and the pishtim are being. My English is not so good, I apologize. When I was 2 weeks, I was made aliyah, so I apologize for that. But my kilaim de oraita is when the tzemer and the pishtim are being on the same hole of the needle. Kilaim de rabbanan is when it's not the same needle, but it's very close one another. One here and one here. One here and one here, but not together. And therefore, because the trousers were kilayim derabanan, and in kilayim derabanan, we said that for the briyot is more important, therefore the friend was wrong. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Inami kilayim deoraita. ובוודאי שם מוצא כלאיים בבגדו אין חוכמה ואין תבונה וצריך לפשטו אפילו בשוק אבל אם אדם רואה כלאיים בבגדי חברו והלובש כלאיים אינו יודע אין לומר לו בשוק עד שיגיע לביתו ומשום כבוד הבריות ישתוק ולא יפרישנו משוגג Says the Rosh in the second Teirutz. When is it Chilul Hashem? Only if you are doing Aveira B'mezit. But if you are doing Aveira B'shogeg, there is no Chilul Hashem. And that was the problem. This friend, he was B'shogeg. And in Shogeg there is no Chilul Hashem. Therefore, in Shoged, Kvod HaBriyot is more than the Aveira. And therefore, he shouldn't be embarrassing. He should tell him to go to the dorm and then he should tell him. Meaning to say that Rav Bakshi Doron has now to decide if we are posek like the first explanation in the Rosh or the second. Because according to the first explanation in the Rosh, there is no difference between Shoged and Mezit. According to the second, even if it would be Doraita, but if it is Shoged, Kvod HaBriyot is more important. Very interesting. Again, we have a machloket between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. See please in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam. The Rambam changed from the case of the Gemara and brought another case. Haroe kilayim shel Torah al chavero. Afilu haya mehalech bashuk, kofetz lo vekorea me'alav miyad. Veafilu im haya rabo. Tell the Shulchan, the Rambam. He didn't bring the case of the Gemara in Brachot that you find Kilayim to yourself. He said, what happened if you walk in Malchei Yisrael in Geula? Big question, while you are there and not in Yeshiva, but we don't discuss it now, we discuss it in Beit Ha. How much Torah Hashem wants us to learn every day? Why Friday is different from other days? Why vacation is different? Find me in the Torah, where is it written? That on Friday we learn less. But we don't discuss it now, but it's a big question. No one is allowed to leave Yeshiva before he knows how much he should learn every day, what Hashem wants.
Is there a difference between yeshiva, outside yeshiva, between a smart guy, not a smart guy, someone that came from Belz Hasidim and someone that came from modern Orthodox? I don't know. I didn't find all this in Torah. So how much Hashem wants? But it's not our discussion now. But what the Rambam writes, if you go to Mea Shearim, you go to Malchus Yisrael, and you see your Rav, and you suddenly find that your Rav had trousers, you take scissors, tick, and you don't care about anything. Even if certainly this guy is shogeg, meaning to say that the Shulchan Aruch is posted like the first teirutz. And that's why the Rambam changed from the case, because he wanted to tell us that we are posted like the first teirutz. Says the Rama, Ve'yesh omrim, Ve'im halovesh haya shogeg, Ein tzarich lomar lo b'shuk, Afilu b'kil'ayim shel Torah, ומשום כבוד הבריות ישתוק ואל יפרישנו משוגג. Meaning to say that the Rama is posek like the second teirutz. Conclusion, before we go to the last part, but conclusion, if the couple is Sfaradi, and they go according to the Beit Yosef, they go according to the Shulchan Aruch, she must tell him, even if it will cause friction, and even if he will be embarrassed and he won't know what to say. Now there is a big question that I don't have time to go. Can he lie? Can he say, the restaurant is closed, they made the mistake, there is a booking of another event? So what do you do with Pidyon HaBen? I do it with my family in the house. Is he allowed to lie or not? I'm not going into that, but not the fact. But she must tell him. Okay, I write here, must say. I hope my English is right. Two reasons. One, because Bracha Levatala is the writer. And secondly, because shogeg equal mazit. So if you by shogeg not know to prepare tea on Shabbos, and you take a wet glass and you put hot water, you are making chilul Hashem. Okay? Because there is no difference between shogeg and mazit. And even shogeg has chilul Hashem. If the couple is Ashkenazi, you don't, and it goes according to the Rama, not to say, and she's not allowed. Because Baruch HaLevatala is the Rabbana. B, because Shogeg is different than Mezid. Here there is Chilul Hashem, and here no Chilul Hashem. Is that clear till here? The case of Rabak Shidoron, the woman was Ashkenaz and the husband was Sfaradi. Now you tell me, what do you think he was posting? I'm giving you 1 minute to discuss with your friend and tell me. The woman was Ashkenazi and the husband was Sfaradi. Should they say or they shouldn't say? I'm sorry. The case was, the husband was Ashkenazi and the woman was Sfaradi. Okay? What do you think should be there? Okay? The case was the bad Ashkenazi and the Isha Sfaradi.
No,
Till here, all what we did till here took Bakshi Dorot approximately half an hour. Okay? Another hour he spent on this question. And we have to do it in 5 minutes. But understand now the problem. Now, the first Chiddush of Bakshi Dorot was to compare that case exactly to other Gemara. Because our Gemara speaks with the Kilayim, speaks about the friction between Ben Adam Lechader and Ben Adam Lemakom, and that question that he was asked at Baruch Kolonag speaks about the friction. And one of the things that we're going to see every week when we discuss surrogate mother, for example, next week, or whenever we'll do it, if the mother is first or second and so on, the big question will be, are the case that you are dealing and the case that Gemara deals, are they the same or not? So the first Chiddush of Bakshi Dorot was, it's exactly the same case. And here too we have a friction between Kvod HaBriyot and the right of the Rabbanon Shoghe Gomezid. And if we compare it to this Gemara, now the woman come to him, she is Sephardic, therefore she went to the chief rabbi that is Sephardic, but her husband is Ashkenazi. Now, she's of the what? What would be her avera? When she come and ask, should I tell him or not, I don't want to be over an avera. What would be her avera? Her avera will be Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver means you're not allowed to put a stone to a blind person. He's blind. He doesn't know that it's not the first baby. And she's putting the stone. Lifnei Iver means she caused him to make an avera. Two understanding in Lifnei Iver. And Rav Bakshi Dorot have to be posek. Does he understand that explanation A in Lifnei Iver or explanation B? Explanation A, when I call someone, let's say, let's take an example. Let's say there won't be air conditioner. And will come a man from a company, Jewish, not religious, and for 3 hours will work here in sweat all the time and fix the air conditioner. You want to be nice to him, you see that he's so sweating. You run to the Makol, you buy Coca-Cola, Taste of Life, and you give him. You're over his neighbor, you're right. Because of you, he's not making an avera. What would be written in Shammai? Would be written, this guy was over his neighbor? Or will it be written, this guy was making bracha levatala? Because if you cause someone to make an avera, it's like you are doing the avera. Now, I'm not posting now that you shouldn't give the Coca-Cola. That's a whole another shear. But understand that if you give food to someone who's not religious, there is a big problem. I'm not dealing with that, I'm not saying yes or no. So there are two understandings if they ever. One understanding is, it will be written in Shammai, I'm over if they ever. He was driving on Shabbos. He was making bracha levatala. He was eating without a bracha. I'm causing. There will be written in the book in Shemaim, causing. Second understanding, when you cause someone, you are cooperate. You are like him. You are making the avera. If there is someone here, lawyer in America, it would be very interesting to know. If someone drive a murder, and without him driving the murder, the murder wouldn't make the murder. In America court, will he be considered the driving? Will be considered a murder too, or not? Or it will be written assisting, but not doing it. Or no, you are part of the murder. The murder starts with the driving. That will Rav Bakshi, the one, have to decide.
Because if when she caused him to make an avera, it's like she is doing bracha levatar. Then we said, if she is Sephardic, she's not allowed to do bracha levatar. Even if she would be embarrassed. If the avera means that she is doing the avera bracha levatar, then the answer would be she had to tell him. For example, the Rebbe Mipanovich, the Rosh Hashiva Mipanovich, he wrote a whole article, 20 pages, to prove that if the Iver means that you are doing the Aver. So if Ponovich is right, and if she would go to the Rebbe Ponovich, he will tell her, tell him, even that he is Ashkenazi, but you are making the Bracha Levatala, and you are not allowed. According to the second understanding, she's not making bracha levatar. She's only causing him to make an avera. But he's allowed to make that avera. Because he's Ashkenazi, and for him it's not the right time, for him it's shogeg, and therefore he's allowed. She's not over even if they ever, because for him it's allowed, so he's not over if they ever. Therefore, Rav Bakshi Doron took a whole hour and going to 20 sugiyot that I don't have now time to tell you, is to decide like explanation number one or like explanation number two. So is it shutafut? Yes, how do you say shutafut in English?
Partnership.
What?
Partnership.
Sorry?
Partnership.
H?
Yeah.
E?
I?
Partnership. PP? Okay. If not, you're correct. And then the answer would be tell him. Or is it only causing him? And he's the main thing. And according to him, it's allowed. And therefore, she's not causing him. And then don't say. And Rav Bakshi Doron went into 20 sugyot in the Shas. That I don't have now time to go with you in order to decide if it's this one or this one. His conclusion at 1:30 at night was that it's causing. And therefore he told the woman, don't say. And the husband till today doesn't know that he made the bracha levatara. So look how we made the psak. And we had to decide, we don't have that case exactly in the Shas, where that case is written, to learn that source deep, to see the difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim and so on, then to come to the current question, partnership or causing, to give a psak, and according to that, to give the psak. I didn't discuss today in Shir, and I didn't have time. A, what caused him to decide that it's causing a non-partnership? B, if she would tell him, is the husband allowed to lie or not? Second thing that I didn't discuss. And third thing that I didn't discuss, I didn't say for 1 minute, and I wanted to make very clear, I didn't say for 1 minute that she was okay but not telling him that in the beginning. Maybe it was her responsibility before they got engaged to tell him. And one of the hardest questions that Rabbanim have, and with this I'll finish, if someone have a certain problem, medical problem. I had a boy here in Yeshiva that had a certain medical problem. Every time that he went in dating because he wanted to do what Hashem wants, the first thing, in the first dating, he said his medical problem. Always he got no answer from the girl. Always came to me broken, and his medical problem wasn't so big. He was Sephardic. I told him I want a Sephardic Rav to answer you. I called Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the chief rabbi of Israel. I told him there is a problem here. I want immediately to come with the boy. I took the boy, the student from Yeshiva, in my car. We went to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu.
But Mordechai Eliyahu told him, you don't say it in the first meeting, only in the fourth one, after she know your personality. Told him the boy, when I say it in the fourth time, she will be very angry that I didn't say it before. She will think that I'm not honest. But Mordechai, I remember it like today, Mordechai took his pen, took his paper, wrote his cell phone, and said, if she feels that, she should call me. I will tell her that I told you, and it's not allowed, according to the halakha, to say it in the first meeting. Now, we have to learn the subject. There are things that you have to say in the beginning. There are things that you don't have even to say at all. Let's say you went to a psychologist when you were 3 years old, because you had a trauma from a dog. And everything went away. And now you see a dog, and you sing Taliban. And you don't have any problem. So you don't have to tell her that when you were 3, you went to a psychologist. So one of the issues that I didn't discuss now, did she? Now she told Rabak, she told, I know, I knew. That if I will tell him that I had a baby, he won't get married to me. Was it allowed that she didn't tell him, or it wasn't allowed? I don't have time to discuss that. So we are going to meet in Erev every Thursday. Every Thursday we'll take a case. We'll see the psak according to that case. And the most important thing, enjoy life. Because only with Torah we can enjoy life.